This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And tonight, great to have Dr. Neil McRae back with us. Neil, thank you for coming on this evening, as always.
Yes, great to be on, and good evening to all the viewers.
Great to have you with us. Thank you so much for giving us your time. And so many stories to start with, as always, but I think it's only right to look at, to start with, the big one, which has dominated our news, and this is the death. The passing away, as the Mayor of London calls it, the brutal murder, that I would call it, of Sir David Eames. And here is the Telegraph. I mean, there are all different stories on it, but this was from the Telegraph. And so, heart-stricken PM tribute to man who believed passionately in this country and future. Police got here soon. He's not breathing, was witness's plea. And so counter-terrorism police are leading the investigation in the fatal attack. I mean, fatal attack, it kind of reduces it down, but it was a premeditated murder on the Conservative MP, Sir David Eames, who was stabbed multiple times as constituency surgery. Sir David, the MP for South End West in Essex, was killed on Friday in Belfast Methodist Church in Leon Sea, and a British man of Somalian origin was arrested on suspicion of murder. Sir David, 69, father of five, very, very strong on animal welfare issues, on pro-life issues, Brexiteer, been in the House, or one of the oldest serving members of the House. It's a sad day whenever this sort of thing happens, despite what our MPs have done or haven't done on lockdown. I know that he was passionately believed in Brexit and passionately believed in many issues. So, Neil, your thoughts on this?
Well, immediately when I heard about the tragic stabbing of David Eames, I began to suspect that there's more to this than meets the eye. And anyone who follows me on Gab will have seen my posts about this. And if anyone wants to follow me on Gab, it's Dr._Neil_McRae. But firstly, we should talk about David Eames himself, the man, a very popular MP in his Essex constituency. And he first came to fame in, I think it was the 1992 election, when it was John Major who was down in the polls and Neil Kinnock was expected to win. And Essex used to be, much of Essex used to be Labour territory. But David Eames came in and won Basildon for the Conservatives. And he was on the front page of the Sun newspaper with his kind of Cockney Essex phrasing of "it was the Sun what won it." You may remember that. Yeah. A very popular MP. He was also a committed Roman Catholic, and something which is particularly upsetting is that a priest rushed to the scene to give him last rites, and he was refused entry through the police cordon. Wow. So yet another bit of nastiness by the state, by the establishment. The perpetrator seems to have been a 25-year-old Somali. It's a multiple stabbing, and it appears to be a terrorist incident. You know, and it was an extremist, a jihadi in this case, whereas Joe Cox's murder was attributed to a white far-right extremist.
Yeah.
The suspicion that I have is around the timing. And I suspect that this was a state-sponsored assassination. Mm. I'll go as far as to say that. And that's speculation on my part. I see this as akin to the death of David Kelly, some viewers may remember, and the Tony Blair years. It's not just me that's saying this. There are rumors going around on Twitter. And Majid Nawaz has raised this possibility today. Mm. So why David Amos? He wasn't particularly outspoken against Islam or against mass immigration. I mean, he said a few things but that you'd expect a Tory MP to say, but wasn't particularly outspoken. So why him? David Amos has been expressing serious concern about the COVID regime, and particularly about the vaccine passports. Mm. My guess is that he knew too much. Not only was he criticizing the legal, ethical, and medical absurdities of the vaccine passports, but he also knew about the individuals involved in pushing this policy. Mm. And of course, we know that all MPs are being very, very quiet. None of them are raising any serious concerns about what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is very strange, given that this is the most radical rewriting of the relationship between citizens and the state that we've ever had in this country, ever.
Yeah.
And David Amos was starting to say a little bit too much. So I think the motive is clear. There's a much clearer motive for the state to do something about David Amos than there is for a 25-year-old Somali migrant.
Mm.
And I think that David Amos's killing serves two purposes for the state. Firstly, it sends a strong message to any other dissenting MPs. And secondly, it justifies a wall of steel being built around MPs just at the time that they're about to unleash this dreaded Plan B on us.
Mm.
And Tobias Elwood today saying that MPs should stop all surgeries, stop all contact face-to-face with constituents. So it might seem a bit far-fetched what I'm saying, but you can probably see that there is at least a potential for a motive here.
Also on a very interesting thoughts on that, Neil, also a very slight different angle on this, and British LA brings this up, and I did look, and his comment was Emma Raducanu, the great British tennis player. Obviously, the media have focused on her immigrant background, Chinese background, Romanian, I think, and that's all been focused on. Mm-hmm. Here, I see the killer was British of Somali origin. So again, they focused on someone who's carried something, an atrocity out. It's focused on the Britishness, where someone who wins something, it focuses on their un-Britishness, which is another interesting aspect of how the media report on these things.
But of course, the other side would accuse you of that and me of that. They'll say that we talk about this guy being an immigrant, Somali, and whereas we talk about this tennis player we're happy to celebrate the tennis player as being British.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't really get anywhere with arguing with people who see the world in the way that they do. I mean, I think we've learned that in recent years, not just with COVID, but with Brexit, it's impossible to get through. But I think COVID has really shown how people who are on the other side can be totally impenetrable. Yep. There was a Remain cult, an FBPE cult, and they're just like there is a COVID cult.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to make any sort of sense in debating such people. You cannot use reasoning and logic to get through to them at all. You can't use facts. You can't use evidence. It's not worth the effort.
Yeah, completely. And it was just a last comment before we move on. It was frustrating, I think, to hear Boris Johnson focus on his love of animals in the work that he does. Boris didn't mention that he was a committed Christian, didn't mention that he was pro-life, and those were some of the big issues for him. He was also pro-animals being treated fairly, but Boris cared more about a dog being treated fairly than a child being treated fairly, which is...
there were all the mainstream media are focusing on is the danger to MPs by nasty elements of the community, which is just as likely to include white British people who are classed as far right or extremists simply for having some doubts about the COVID regime. So this is the big message in the media, and there was the photos of Boris Johnson going and laying a wreath. Mm. I find it sickening because I believe Boris Johnson knew what was happening here. Mm. Boris Johnson, other senior members of the regime, because it is a regime at the moment.
Yeah.
Carrie. Yeah. I think they know all about it. And, of course, lots of comparisons are being made at the moment with the Nazi period in the 1930s, and there was a fire at the Reichstag, which was almost certainly contrived to give the regime the justification to move on to the next stage of their tyranny.
Mm. Let's leave that and move on to another issue, which is wokeness. And this is the removal of women and females from our society. You wouldn't expect anything less, I guess, in Scotland. So, sorry, anyone watching from Scotland, you end up being bunched with Nicola Sturgeon, because that's who you lead. So my apologies if you are an opponent of her. But here we have Scotland Civil Service deletes mother from maternity policy after Stonewall pressure. Scottish Government makes change to appease transgender rights activists and climbs controversial equality index. And again, this is just another removal. It's annoying the way the whole transgender is being pushed, but also the other side is it's concerning that women being willing to allow themselves to be removed from society like this.
Yes, it's very strange what's happened to feminism. And they've always talked about different waves of feminism and the term third wave and fourth wave, for example. I don't know what wave this is, but it certainly doesn't seem to be one that benefits ordinary women, is it? And you know, arguably, feminism is dying.
Yeah.
Because if we're erasing the terms mother and woman and erasing biological sex, then that to me is an abject failure of feminism, and something that I may have said on this program before, I can't remember, but I was a lecturer in a healthcare department of a university until recently, and midwifery was taught in this university. And when I started at this department, I was there for about 10 years. And when I started, there was still the traditional view of midwifery, and that this was about care for mother and baby. So the word mother was used all the time. Then we started to get the term woman being used instead, which seemed to me to be a sort of political stance. It was like radical feminists who were taking over the midwifery establishment. But within a few years, that changed as well to people who are pregnant. So it's astonishing. Somebody somewhere will have to make sense of these waves of feminism. But what I saw was a very short term, the radical feminist side was only really dominating for a few years before that was ousted by this new cultural Marxist dogma of gender fluidity.
Let me just bring just a little clip to end it off before we move on. This is Dr. Robert Winston. He was on Question Time, which I haven't watched for many years, but you get clips, snips that come up. And he is a well-known, well-renowned biologist, scientist, and he also sits as, I think, a Labour peer in the House of Lords. I think he's Labour. So this is Dr. Winston making a few common sense comments. So just 40 seconds of this.
Program when I finish, but basically,
right? Okay, I will say
this categorically: that you cannot change your sex. Your sex actually is there in every single cell in the body. You have a chromosomal sex, you have genetic sex, you have hormonal sex, you have all sorts of different kinds of psychological brain sex. They're all different, and we are very confused about this, unfortunately, and regrettably, it's got into this argument that people are now will now accuse me of being transphobic.
Well, obviously, there are trans people who say you absolutely can do that.
Well, unfortunately, you can't say this publicly. This is one of the big problems. Even saying this on this program undoubtedly will result in my getting a huge amount of hate mail. It always does. But
interesting to have a little bit of common sense there. Let's leave that. Let's move on. I'm not going to let you comment on it, or else we'll run out of time, and I know you will, but you're not going to. Let's move on to what is happening. Of course, we've seen facial recognition being rolled out. I've done a video on it 6 weeks ago and how it's been rolled out in the UK, live facial recognition. And here we have from the Moscow Times, which I've never, ever seen any article before, but hey, we'll bring you this. Moscow Times, Moscow Metro introduces world's first pay-by-face system. You scroll down, the Moscow Metro on Friday, this is yesterday, rolled out what authorities have touted as the world's first fare payment system based on facial recognition technology. The cashless, cardless, phoneless system called FacePay has been fitted special turnstiles across the Russian capital's more than 240 metro stations. To enter the metro, passengers won't need a card. You just look at the camera on the turnstile. And I assume that this means that they have an image of every single person. And now you don't need money. You just need your face or your eyes. Like, Neil, again, it's very, people obviously will think, oh, this is easy, it makes my life a bit easier. And that's the worry, that this erosion of privacy, people give away because people are told it makes your life a little bit easier.
Yes, absolutely. It's convenience which gets us trapped in this technocracy. And you also have the middle-class people who don't have any particular need to fear the authorities, the police, who love to show how modern they are, how progressive, and how they can, how they've been initiated into this new technological world that we're living in. It's almost like a status symbol to them. But I visited Moscow just after the fall of communism in the early 90s. And something that struck me was the underground, the stark difference in atmosphere on the Moscow underground compared to London. Silence. People had learned to not speak in public. because they had a totalitarian surveillance state. And okay, that state had kind of withered away, but old habits die hard. People didn't speak to each other. They didn't look at each other while traveling. They were just going from A to B. And sadly, here we have the surveillance system in resurgence and more powerful than ever before. This face recognition thing, you know, it seems clear to me that the smartphone that people put in their back pocket when they're not obsessively fiddling with it won't be around for long.
Yeah.
That you will just have your eyes or your fingerprints or, you know, cameras will just be able to pick you out as who you are. Yeah. And probably the eyes, because they want us to wear masks in ad infinitum, don't they? So it's a very dystopian situation we're getting into.
Completely. And I did on this, I was shocked to find out that in China, they have 2 billion faces on it. By the time a child is a week old or something, 10 days, their images put on and then updated, so right from the beginning, and it can detect you in a crowd from 2 billion faces within seconds. That is how fast this can be, and a huge intrusion on all our lives. So and here obviously this links your face to your payment details, so imagine what that'll be like if a camera tracks you doing something that it doesn't like. Immediately, your card could be stopped. Your bank account could be suspended. You're right, Neil. People need to wake up and realize the impact this could have on all their lives. Yeah. Let's move over on to COVID. And I think we're going to touch on one or maybe two very short stories at the end. We'll try and also do where we leave YouTube, because Neil and I wanted to talk a little bit about data. VAERS data, and if you want to know more, then join us at the end. We'll not comment on it on YouTube because we play by their rules. But let me bring up this story, which is, if I can find the story, it's not very good if I can't find the story. This is looking at vaccine mandates, and in the States, we've been through many countries, and this is another situation happening. This is in the States. And this is Boeing. So Boeing says employees must show proof of COVID vaccination by December the 8th under Biden's federal contractor rules. Boeing is the latest federal contractor to tell staff they must show proof of vaccination under the Biden administration's rules. Staff can alternatively ask for an exemption or a disability or religious belief. Need to look deeper into that. But you scroll down, 125,000 employees, Boeing employees in the US, and if they choose, which has been our right up to this point, not to get a vaccine, then by the 8th of December, they will be out of a job, and I guess they'll have lost their job just before Christmas. And I think, how evil can Biden be to want to put people out of a job before Christmas?
Yes, so I've always thought that it will be the USA that becomes the prime battleground over COVID. It's been relatively quiet in terms of large rallies. They've been focused on London, Paris, Berlin, other European cities. Yeah. But in the US, we have this dire situation where the puppet Joe Biden, who doesn't know what day of the week it is, introducing this the vaccine mandate. And he has very limited power to force this on states, but there's all kinds of other things that he can do. For example, they can stop interstate travel.
Yeah.
Employers, there isn't actually a vaccine mandate passed, by the way, But he's threatened it, and people believe it exists. And companies are imposing these mandates, and in the belief that maybe 80% of their staff will relent, and they'll just kick out the 10, 20%. And of course, Biden opened the borders, so there's lots of new recruits they can get from coming up from Central and Latin America. But there is some brave fight back by the pilots of Southwestern Airlines, for example, doctors and nurses in New York State. So we're starting to get more and more of these stories. And I think that it will be the US where COVID really breaks out into a properly contested war, basically. And I don't mean war in the sense of armies fighting, but almost at the level of civil war, actually. Yeah. The deep state in Washington will get increasingly frustrated that states like Texas and Florida and South Dakota, I think, you know, they're particularly strident against the vaccine passports and actually banning any discrimination against people who haven't been vaccinated. So this is going to be a big fight.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't happen so much in European countries, where a central government has just passed the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's left to that small minority who are out protesting week in, week out. But the majority, sadly, a lot of them support it. A larger number just go along with it.
Yeah, completely. Let me, I see there that Alan Budell said 50% of Chicago cops won't take the vaccine. Hold on, we'll get to that. So you're ahead of me, Alan. Thank you for that. Heath Fairbairn says, what a great guest. There you go, Neil, just to blow your trumpet for you. WK White Knight, you know some of your comments I can't even read out on YouTube, so I'm not going to. So I'll leave it at that. This is another story about a basketball player. And again, I don't watch basketball at all. I'll play a little clip from him speaking as well. This is Brooklyn Nets ban Kyrie Irving, 29, from all games and practices until he gets vaccinated. All-star already stood to lose nearly half his $34.9 million salary due to New York mandate. So it goes into depth on that and how he's held off. He was a rookie of the year when he started basketball, so he is an exceptional player. Let me just play a clip. I'll just play a minute of him speaking because I want to let you hear what he says. The audio is good, but it's quite dark, but let me play it for you.
Yeah. I'm always going to stay true to me, and that's me. You know, this is my life. I get to do whatever I want with this. This is one body that I get here, one God body that I get here. And you telling me what to do with my body, and it has nothing to do with the organization. I'm going to put that out there. It has nothing to do with the Nets. It has nothing to do with my teammates. This has everything to do with what's going on in our world, and I'm being grouped in to something that's bigger than just the game of basketball. And, you know, you got that fandom, you know, which is like a religion to people out here. Basketball is like a religion. Entertainment is like a religion to people. They, like, get so caught up emotionally. It's just like, yo, effing get vaccinated or just leave. You know, we angry at what you're doing, man. And it's just like, nah, that's, like, what are you talking about? I'm a human being. I have emotions. I have feelings. I have thoughts. Things that I keep to myself, things that I share, but I'm staying grounded in what I believe in. It's just as simple as that. It's not about being anti-vax or about being, you know, on one side or the other. Like, it's just really about being true to what feels good for me. You know, I'm still uncertain about a lot of things, and that's okay. You know, if I'm going to be demonized for having more questions and taking my time to make a decision with my life, then that's just what it is. You know, like, that's something I got to sit in. You know, I know the consequences of the decisions I make with my life. You know, I'm not here to sugarcoat any of that. But if we really going to be real, like, it's crazy times we're in. It's crazy times. Like, How many people are really thinking with a balanced view? You know, how many people are really thinking about the future of what's going on? It's crazy times we're in. We just came out of one of the craziest pandemics of all time, and you're telling me to think rationally. How many people are really thinking rationally? I'm not the focus here. You know what I mean? I got on here to really show that, like, I'm real enough to stand up when I feel like I'm being put in a effed up position. You know, like, I'm not even that. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't committed a crime.
I love, I've seen quite a number of American sports stars coming out and speaking extremely eloquently and well, and just saying, this is my right to choose an individual. So it's, and he's put his money on the line. He'll lose millions. Wow. What an individual.
And perhaps, I don't want to sound this to sound wrong, but I do often find myself surprised by just how articulate and well-researched some people are who are in sport or in the care homes. You know, my job at the moment is defending workers against this no jab, no job policy. And, you know, several of the women, it's mostly women, that I represent, very articulate. They've read up everything and they put their managers to shame. You know, the managers just not inquisitive at all. They're supposed to be working in healthcare. They're supposed to be in the domain of evidence-based practice and they're supposed to be critical thinkers. No, it's the critical thinkers who are being sacked. Mm. And here's a critically thinking basketball player. Anyone who has woken up to what's going on is going to be targeted, and he will lose a lot of money. And relatively, our care home workers, the ones that we aren't able to save their jobs, they're going to lose their livelihood. And I was hearing today about the Navy SEALs in America, that not only are they going to be dismissed from the service if they don't take the vaccine, they're also going to be charged the full cost of their military training, thousands and thousands of dollars. So the question, though, is, Peter, is, and it's like when I see these rallies in places like Milan and Rome today, and you could still see people sitting, eating in the restaurants, and there are people marching against vaccine passports, marching for freedom.
Yeah.
And these people just looking at them as if there's something wrong with them. You know, when really those diners in the restaurants are collaborators. They're collaborating with an evil regime.
Completely. You commented on, again, all the links here in the description, so that Gab, Dr. Neil_McRae, so follow him on there. It's in the description, so you can just click on that. Neil commented on who's involved with Workers of England, .co.uk. Go on to that. They're doing a fantastic job. And we've talked about them before, so please do go and make use. You want a union that will fight for your rights to choose what you take and don't take into your body, then make sure and go on the website, sign up. And actually, there are also the first time I've seen another union really stand up, and this is in Chicago. This is Chicago Police Union head urges cops to defy vaccine mandate. And it's the head of the Chicago Police Officers Union has called on its members to defy the city's requirement to report their COVID-19 vaccination status by Friday or be placed on unpaid leave. And it is wonderful. It's been very silent, I think, from unions standing up for their workers on this issue. Neil, you know with the work you do in Workers for England, it's great to see here a union standing up in the States. And I hope it's the beginning of many.
And this is why, Peter, I believe it will be in the US where the COVID regime starts to face real opposition. All of the trade unions in the UK, apart from the Workers of England, are corrupt. They're corrupt because they're not standing up for their workers. They are basically part of the establishment. And, you know, I know some care workers who were in Unison, and Unison flatly refused to represent them in a no jab, no job case. The union says, we support the vaccine policy. We support you being sacked because you won't take an experimental injection. Absolutely hideous. And it's the same in Europe. Most of the unions are just going along with this vaccine regime. And of course, in Australia, that large construction union had its offices ransacked by an angry crowd because the leader sided with the government, sided with Dan Andrews and his henchmen over the workers that they're supposed to represent.
Yeah, not completely. Let me bring up, there was another one that was a positive story. And give me one moment, let me bring it up. Which is on from Gateway Pundit, which great to hear, and I'll make a comment about them as we finish. Let me just give me a moment. And here it is. So this is SMART. The Sheet Metal Air, Rail and Transportation Union. Like another union, it's another good story. Good to have good stories on this. With 203,000 members announced a stand against forced vaccines. So it's great to see this other union. Let me just scroll. Here we have the union consists of sheet metal workers, service technicians, bus operators, engineers, conductors, sign workers, welders, production employees, and more. SMART is the largest railroad operating union in North America, with more than 500 transportation locals. And on Thursday, the general chairperson sent a letter to advise them that the union strongly disagrees with companies' unilateral requirement for COVID vaccinations. So again, it's just another good story that actually there is pushback on this.
Yes, it's good to see. And I always read the Gateway Pundit. I often write for them, actually. It's one of the best news websites in the world, I would say.
Completely. Let me, I'm going to see if I can turn off YouTube, and I don't know if I can, but let me see. We're going to just cover two other very quick stories off YouTube, and I will see if I can do it. I have done it before a couple of times, but let me just give you a few other clips before we finish. Let me play this little video clip. This is where we are going, and I think this is YouTube friendly. So let me just bring up this, and I'll just play a few 20 seconds of this. This is the World Economic Forum. This is what they're suggesting. So you will get your blood scanned. Let me spin that. No, you'll get your blood scanned, and that will go into this app. Again, it's more and more intrusive, more and more concerning, and it does seem to be more and more about controlling all of us. Let me give you in Australia. This is about one of the doctor surgeries. I'll let you listen to it.
There you have it. And this is the doctor's offices now for the unvaccinated people, as I got told on the phone when I made my appointment. It's outside. Very professional. This is the Australian medical system, eh? What a joke. It's an embarrassment. There you go. Fairfield West Medical Center. There's the number. Ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and as I said before, I only came here because of a finger.
So the unvaxxed sit outside in a little tent. I don't know what it will be like in the winter. I guess they'll just freeze to death in the winter. Could be what the government are planning.
Yes, and just to link those two last video clips. So the first one from the World Economic Forum, anyone that's awake knows that this was the outcome, the desired outcome from the start, that everything that's happened in the last 2 years has been about creating this outcome, which is a total digital surveillance system for which the best vehicle was a vaccine passport, because if you have a universal vaccine, then everybody would need to be, we could easily be put on this passport QR code system. Mm-hmm. But for a universal vaccine, you would need a disease that was scary enough and was virulent enough, you know, a pandemic. So they contrived a pandemic that would justify a vaccine, that would justify a vaccine passport. And this is where we are going. And to link that to the Australian doctor surgery, any vaccine refuseniks are a problem. Well, there's certainly a problem if there's enough of them. And if there was only 0.1% of the population that refused the vaccine, that wouldn't be much of a problem. Those people could just be ostracized and their lives limited, and they'd be ignored and forgotten about by most people. But no, 20, 30, or 40% of the population are refusing the vaccine, and that's just too much. And then, of course, you've got the people who've taken the vaccine but object to a vaccine passport. So they're going to have to do a lot more work to get to this digital surveillance system, to get it up and running for the majority of society. And so I think we need to be worried, because you know, we've had this talk about Plan B in Britain. Across the world, things are going to get a lot darker. There is going to be a dark winter because the authorities are going to get more desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Let me play just this little clip of Italy. Italy pushback. Let me play this. Many videos out there. So I'll not play them all. You get the idea. You can see them on a lot of the Telegram channels available. So do make sure and follow that. We don't put a lot of it out, but I know others do. So do have a look there. Can I also just, we finish, and then I found out how to turn off YouTube, so I've done it, I think. Not yet, but so hold fire, Neil. Just one, I want to show this great article. It was interesting article on another Gateway pundit, and this was just to let people know, this was a great meeting that Tommy had with Jason Miller. This was Tommy and Lutz. So you got Lutz Backman on the left, Jason Miller the second, who's the CEO of Miller, who had the privilege of meeting a couple of weeks ago. Tommy in the middle, and great, they had a meeting in Germany. Jason was over there discussing Getter. If you're not on Getter, do get and follow Tommy. He's really increasing. We're also on. And it was interesting that I scrolled down and, hey, I see the video of our video with Lutz Backman from Pegida. So it was nice to see Gateway Pundit putting that out. I know the guy who writes under a pen name at The Sink. So great to see that. And Get her doing great work. So please do and enjoy it.
Yeah. And I always like to make the point that Tommy Robinson is an irrepressibly chirpy character, no matter what the state does to him.
Yeah.
You know, he really was made an enemy of the state. This guy just keeps going. I mean, what's happened to him would break 99.9% of people.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know where he gets the stamina from, but he just keeps going.
I know, it's he doesn't end. Let me just show you two pictures and then we'll leave YouTube. If you want to see them in, come on over. And what was, this was, I thought this was funny. I don't know if you will. Here we go. That moment when you think you've hit a dog and then realize it's just a climate change protester. Obviously in jest. Maybe my humor is bad humor. And the other image was, last one, this is how crazy we have got. And it put a smile on your face or make you even more annoyed. There you go. It is the zoo. Wear a mask because they can't. I didn't know otters caught COVID and were spreading COVID, but there you go. Otters obviously get it too. So protect the otters. On that, we'll say goodbye, YouTube, or as Stephen Crowder says, piss off, YouTube. We'll continue for a couple of minutes on all the other channels, on BitChute, on Rumble, on the website, on VK, on DLive, on Odyssey. Come on, guys, you must be able to use one of those. So we'll jump over and you can follow us on that for the last couple of minutes of wisdom from Neil. So goodbye, YouTube. And that's YouTube gone. Right, Neil, you can say what you like now for 10 minutes.
And you're about to ask me something about COVID, Peter. But before I forget, I must tell you a quick conversation I had with somebody in a secondhand bookshop today. This old lady, she said to me that she's looking forward to getting her third jab. She had the flu jab last week, and she's looking forward to the booster for COVID.
Mm.
And I said to her, doesn't that suggest there's something wrong with these vaccines that you've had to get three injections in the space of a few months? And she said, this was her answer. She said, the problem is they didn't make them strong enough. They were too worried about causing side effects. They should have made them stronger.
But Audrey, there's some people that you can't. They've bought the lie so much. There's some you can reason and rationalize and discuss and put forward your point of view. Others just, the government have told me, so it's true. I mean, are you so thick? But yeah, anyway. Let me bring up, I think it was a video clip, and this is from Taiwan. Let me play this 30 seconds.
In Taiwan, the number of people dying after their COVID vaccination is exceeding the number of deaths from the virus itself. Taiwan's health authorities say that as of Monday, deaths after vaccination reached 865, while deaths from the virus are at 845. Vaccines currently offered in Taiwan include AstraZeneca, Moderna.
Right, we'll knock into this. So, Taiwan talking about deaths after a vaccine higher than deaths from the virus.
Well, you can't have got that. You can't have got that from YouTube, Peter.
No, Telegram. Telegram is the place to disseminate information. It really is. But yeah, it was. Didn't get it from YouTube, no, and that's why I came off YouTube, because I wanted to. We discuss things fairly and openly, but on COVID, as we know, you need to leave YouTube, and I wanted to leave just a messy comment of some of the stuff that is coming out. And we can't verify it, but it's going out on the news there. And it's the data that the Taiwanese government are collecting. Let me just show you the VIRS as well, because that's 30 seconds as well. And we'll have a little chat on it. Final one, local video. And this is OpenVIRS. VIRS is the American system that looks at reactions, adverse reactions after a vaccine. Most people have never come across that. In Britain, they have a similar one. Although I did hear a British MP ask the government about releasing figures, latest figures, and the government said it would be released whenever they wanted to. So I don't know when that is. Now, I'll just play this 40-second clip giving the data of adverse reactions, including death. Here you go. Let me pause it there, Neil. Actually, we're going to look. It's for, they're basically saying, taking the data. So this is OpenVIRS, and they pull the data and make it into graphical format, so it's a bit easier to understand. But just short of 800,000 reports through to October, I think that is reports in that year. I need to double check, but they're talking about 16,000 deaths and 79,000 hospitalizations. 89,000 urgent care. I mean, hugely frightening numbers, Neil. And I'm sure you've seen these numbers as well. Maybe many of our viewers have not seen them because they are suppressed, they are restricted, they are banned from YouTube. You should not access these figures as a citizen.
Yeah, well, 2 points I'd like to make quickly about these data. So firstly, the European drug surveillance system, the British yellow card system, and VAERS are all coming up with similar figures that are proportionate to population. So your data there show that there's 2,508 miscarriages, and in the UK there's about 600 so far. So this suggests that there's some pattern, there's some validity to these, to the concerns that are being raised. But the second important point is that, you know, when I see people out with the yellow boards, and I've done it myself, I've often held the board that shows the death count for VAERS, the EU and UK. And, you know, we update those figures like a sort of cricket scoreboard, you know.
Yeah.
But those death totals will only be a small fraction of the real number, because if you think about someone who's alive and has had a distressing side effect from the vaccine, at least they're around to report it. Yeah. Mm. If somebody dies, then you're kind of relying on a medical practitioner, I mean, maybe a relative, a grieving relative might report it. But I think you can see the point I'm making is that for somebody who's died, the percentage of actual reports compared to the true number is going to be even bigger than for other symptoms. Mm. So I would say the yellow card system is a long, long, long way off with its currently, I think it says 1,700 deaths. I mean, I think that's, I think there'd be tens of thousands, to be honest. And in US, the VAERS showing just under 17,000. Again, this will be up in the, this will be in the hundreds of thousands for the American population. The vaccines are causing untold harm to people. Young people now that the vaccines have been given to younger people, have been for a few months now, we're starting to see the toll. We're starting to see sports people. we're starting to see a big increase in this thing called short illness. Tragedies of people who thought that taking the vaccine was doing their bit for society, or maybe they were even worried about the disease themselves.
Mm.
And look what happened.
Let me bring up, so it's going to show this. I want to just play part of it. And it is this graph, and I've seen this, and I need to go deeper into this. This graph shows you deaths reported since 1990, and it's, as you can see, it's been minimal, and suddenly, so something has caused that. The vaccine that's been rolled out is the COVID vaccine. So again, without looking all through the data, but that seems to be the correlation with the data.
Of course. And my speculation is that the death toll would be a lot higher if everyone was getting the active substance. And I guess they're not. I guess that some people are getting an inert control injection. Because, of course, they didn't do the trials properly before these vaccines were introduced. For 70 years, they've been trying to develop a coronavirus or a vaccine for the cold. Unsuccessfully. They did bring out one for flu, but the flu vaccine's not very effective. But suddenly, we have about 10 manufacturers around the world. All discover a coronavirus vaccine all at the same time. It's very unlikely. And, of course, these are not conventional vaccines anyway. They're genetic technology. And, you know, I've never really got too much into the graphene and the 5G connections and all that sort of thing. But I think we need to be... have open minds to the claims that some people are making about these vaccines being the first step to transhumanism.
I agree, and I've seen the videos being put out on that, and it does seem to be part of the plan. So, Neil, I think we'll finish it. I've taken a whole hour of your time. I'll let you go.
Very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Peter. And I'm watching the chat as well. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. It was an hour worth spending.
And you can follow more of Neil, of course, on his Gab channel. So go over and find him there. And I encourage you, workersofengland.co.uk, also have a look at that. You want a union that will fight for you, stand up for your rights, and protect you against a vaccine that you don't want, then join workersofengland.co.uk, and you may find that you need Neil by your side on a employment case when you're fighting for your right to be employed and not vaccinated. So do go and make use of that. Thank you for watching us, however you've watched, however you've listened. Great to have you with us, as always. Do give us your comments. Drop us an email, info@heartsofoak.org. Any comments, any thoughts, any suggestions, let us know. And if you haven't got our weekly email, then go to heartsofoak.org, click on that Connect tab, and fill in your details, and you'll get our weekly email. Sometimes it's every 2 weeks. Whatever platform you're watching, do like, do subscribe, do share, all of that. Do you enjoy it? You want other people to see proper news? Pass it on. And as I said before, on Monday, Bill Warner, looking at why does no one want to have a conversation on Islam. He's done that for 30-odd years, me 40 years. He'll be joining me on Monday for a pre-record. And on Thursday, it's Gerard Batten Live, trying to connect the dots on a lot of the things we're seeing, huge issues with supply problems, the shipping issue, the HGV issue, the oil price issue, the restriction on gas issue, the mandated vaccination. I mean, there's so many pieces of that jigsaw. Jared will join me to connect the dots up for those and promise something special. which I don't know what that is. So I'm a little bit concerned at what he's going to share. But tune in for Jared on Thursday. So on that, wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you on Monday. So thank you and good evening.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.